We are back, everyone. It is April 29th. This is the Weekend Recap. Brian and Sam are here with you, and we had quite the busy weekend. If you want to talk weather again, it snowed in Chicago yet again. If you want to talk sports, though, we had NFL draft, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, among many other things, but those are the main topics today that we'll hit. We'll start with the NFL draft taking place Thursday in Nashville, Friday rounds 2 and 3, Saturday the rest of the bunch 4 through 7. First off, I guess let's start with the vent. Nashville is a pretty cool spot for it. Like, shutting down Broadway, lining the bars, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, even though we heard some broadcasters and talking heads say torrential downpour or whatever, but the first round, it didn't look all that bad, and obviously didn't stop the tens of thousands of people from flooding the streets, and thoughts and prayers to those bachelor parties or whatever. But the NHL knows how to do it big, and Nashville was an awesome venue for the NHL or the NFL draft this year. Sorry.
Yeah, it was definitely a good spot. I like the rotating. I liked Radio City Music Hall because I thought it was cool, like how there was the history behind it.
And, yeah, you know, it's like an institution.
Yep, but I also think that it is very cool to have, the draft travel and go to different cities. It's been to Chicago, it's been to Philadelphia, now it's been to Nashville. Like, when they go to different cities, it's kind of a chance for all these NFL towns to show off what they've got and how they do it. The one thing I don't like, I'll be very Mike Mayock-y here. I just make the pick. Just make the pick. Right. I don't want to see, you know. I like bringing out the old players. I think that was funny, and I think the Colts did a great job with it. Reggie Wayne and Pat McAfee went scorched earth on the Nashville crowd.
Oh boy, holy cow, that was hilarious.
But I don't need them to go, like, the Bengals going to the roof of the stadium. What is that about? You know, what is the point of going to the roof of Paul Brown Stadium? I don't need to see that. I don't need to see, you know, the picturesque landscape, air quotes around picturesque landscape of Cincinnati, Ohio. I just need to hear who the hell you're picking.
Yeah, as you said, the Reggie Wayne, Pat McAfee kind of highlighted everything, and you've just got, frankly, irrelevant teams trying to show out and make a huge deal out of a pick that may not even make the roster, which is quite comical.
This is going to be a great segue, because the Cardinals had a weird one where they had like an old-fashioned showdown and a fake pistol fight from like the Wild West,
yeah,
and then made their pick. That said, the Cardinals did have the number one pick. Cliff Kingsbury said years ago, or earlier this year, excuse me, that if he had the chance, he would take Kyler Murray number one overall. He has the chance because somehow, some way, he has finagled his way out of getting fired from Texas Tech. Let me say that again. He got fired from Texas Tech and is now the head coach in the National Football League for the Arizona Cardinals. He did, in fact, take Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback. I think I want to say this is the first time ever they said that back-to-back years a college has had both the Heisman Trophy winner and the number one pick.
That would not surprise me in the slightest, considering the NFL draft's been around since, what, like 1959 or something like that?
It's been a long time.
I'm sure it's even longer than that or whatever, but yeah, it's, and both, another kind of nugget, both guys under 6 feet, which is kind of score one for us that are on the wrong end
us
of that
average
spectrum, but,
sized people.
Yes, exactly. Average sized. Don't let anybody tell you different.
Yeah, honestly, if you go back a decade, probably like 15 years, Kyler Murray's probably not even on draft boards, and Tyree Jackson from Buffalo, the 6'7 quarterback, is probably like everyone's wet dream.
Shooting up, yeah.
Monster arm, huge size, like that is probably their guy. But instead, flip-flop, Jackson is a UDFA to the Buffalo Bills, and Kyler Murray goes number one overall. If you remember, though, last year at number 10, the Arizona Cardinals selected a quarterback by the name of Josh Rosen out of UCLA. He was subsequently traded in the second round on Friday. He goes to Miami for a second and a fifth round pick, I believe, was the total. He will compete for the starting job there. Miami's an interesting spot, to say the least, but they there was a lot of talk about Josh Rosen this weekend, and I think unfairly so. He gets a fresh start after just one season down in Miami, and honestly, I think it's a really good spot for him.
Yeah, well, and I've kind of made jokes, both maybe on podcasts and off air, about the fact that people unfollowing and following things on Instagram or liking a tweet or whatever can turn into these major news stories. And I saw a tweet, I can't remember who from, but it was a screenshot of the Arizona Cardinals Instagram feed with the caption along the lines of, can't believe Josh yep. Rosen would want to unfollow this. And it was, they literally posted 12 things about Kyler Murray in like a span of hours. So right. They obviously got their guy that they wanted, and he was left on the outside looking in. And it's good for him that it happened so quickly to get traded in the second round rather than having to deal with that kind of awkwardness for the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it was Kingsbury's draft. I get it because of the fact that it's a whole new offense, whole new regime. Like, there's no saying Rosen does or does not fit, but if he's not your guy, like, this is Kingsbury's shot in the NFL. He's got to yep. go get his guy. And if Kyler Murray's the guy, you got to go do it. And if you don't want him sitting on the bench behind – if you don't want Rosen sitting on the bench behind him, that's fine. I mean, it's fair to everybody there.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I think it worked out well. Mm-hmm. The last bit, I guess, is the Bears trading up. Did not have a pick until 87 in the third round. They trade up, go grab David Montgomery, the running back out of Iowa State. A lot of people making a lot of his broken tackles record. I would like to note...
Which you're not happy about.
No, I would like to note that he did play in the Big 12, which is so strongly known for their defense. People, I guess, forget the 66-63, whatever the score was, West Virginia-Oklahoma shootout they played this year. Those were two of the top teams in the conference. Yeah, I mean, this is a league that has Kansas. This is a league that has, I mean, West Virginia was somewhat improved, but they've got, you know, Kansas State, who has struggled. They've got Baylor, who is essentially not even a football program at this point. TCU is probably the best defense year in and year out. Texas is hit or miss. I could go on and on with all, you know, the last few teams, but the point is, defense is not a priority in this league. Texas Tech, year in and year out, Cliff Kingsbury was asked, there are, you know, tens of thousands of high school players in the state of Texas. Why can't you find 11 that can play defense? So
yeah, exactly. That's a wonderful point. And I would like to play devil's advocate and looking out for a guy from Iowa, even though he went to Iowa State. A lot of, like, if you look at his highlight packages, he did some really impressive stuff and didn't really have mm-hmm. all that impressive of an offensive line until yep. his junior and senior season. And yep. a lot of the broken tackles that he missed, yes, there's a fair amount of arm tackling, just poor technique. But he, for a guy who doesn't have a ton of speed, he is incredibly shifty. David Montgomery can head fake, juke guys, and just make them look absolutely silly. And it doesn't really matter the competition.
Yeah, I'm not mad about the pick. I would like to reiterate this. I think when it first happened, I was very meh. Now... I never believed it was a bad pick from the beginning. I was just concerned that the Bears moved up. They traded away quite a bit to move up a few spots to get Montgomery, who I'm convinced would have been there at 87, which is the exact same thing I said about Mitch. This is the Pace motto, though. If you've got a guy you like, if you see your guy, go up and get him. And that's what they've done every time. And you know what? If you're going to go down swinging like that, I am 100% on board. I will ride on that ship with you to the very end. They go grab Montgomery. The rest of the draft, I mean, Riley Ridley in the fourth round, I think was a great value pick. It has just another weapon to the offense. He's a great route runner, which is very necessary in Nagy's offense. And then, I mean, the rest of the way, there weren't... I wouldn't say super notable picks by any stretch of the imagination.
Big 12 defense, Duke Shelley out of K-State, though.
Duke Shelley, who Pro Football Focus had as like their sixth best corner, I think, in the entire draft. And he went in the sixth round. Kareth Johnson, I believe his name. I can't remember his last name. But the running back out of Florida.
Kareth White.
Kareth White, yeah. Out of Florida Atlantic. Guy is a speed demon. He ran like a 4.3 6.40. Special teams written all over him. He's gonna be an interesting piece to put out there. But yeah, I mean, UDFA, they grabbed Emmanuel Hall, who's a super fast receiver out of Missouri. They grabbed a couple Notre Dame offensive linemen to reunite with Heitkamp. So this is gonna be a really interesting training camp and off season where they've got a lot of young guys that can fill in roles, and we'll see how it goes from here. But I mean, for a team that didn't have a first or second round pick, I think the Bears had a pretty decent draft.
Oh yeah, exactly. And a few things I do want to notice, given the special teams with Kareth White, him and Cordarrelle Patterson on maybe like one of those fake spread the defense out, fake punt return things. I cannot wait for that.
The old Devin Hester, Johnny Knox, double returner.
Yep, there you go. And then David Montgomery, this will get pounded to the ground, and you've probably heard it already, but the fact that he was a dual threat quarterback in high school, I feel like Matt Nagy has just been drawing up plays since he was drafted to use on the goal line and 2-point conversions.
I am terrified to see what the Bears are going to do. Like, the packages, everyone is interchangeable on this freaking offense. Like, Trey Burton played quarterback at one point. There are so many guys that you can just interchangeably move in and out of the lineup, and at some point, I think they're going to run a two running back set like a few times throughout this year, just in the gun.
That surprised me in the slightest.
Yeah, Mitch has both Cohen and Montgomery spread out on each side, and they're just going to run just dump passes the entire drive.
And can't forget the last pick that we forgot to mention, Steven Denmark, cornerback out of Valdosta State. So even though Bryce isn't around anymore, strengthening the secondary with Duke Shelley and Steven Denmark will hopefully do us some good. And then Denmark's a huge guy for a cornerback.
6'4", 220?
6'4", something like that.
He's a monster.
Another guy with special teams written all over him if he can make the team.
Yeah, he'll be interesting to see. I mean, there's just so much competition in the secondary now. There's openings for sure. I mean, Bryce is obviously gone, which sucks, but we need a slot, a nickel corner. Who's going to be that guy? J5, still with the team. I love Don Franklin. Love to see him out there. I mean, they're going to have a lot of opportunities and a lot of guys that they can sub, a lot of sub-package guys that they can move in and out. So it'll be interesting to see, but I'm excited to get training camp underway now. At this point, we're what, 90 some days away from football back, so mark your calendars.
Can't wait.
Moving on, NHL playoffs. We have just one series at 2-0. The rest are one apiece. Carolina leads the Islanders 2-0. Excuse me. Islanders have scored just one goal. They were at home. However, they played in Brooklyn, as I've written about at lmbfsports.com, the single worst place to watch hockey, and I'd imagine it's not fun to play there either. Boston, Columbus, both games go to overtime. They're tied 1-1. Dallas, St. Louis, 1-1. Colorado, San Jose, 1-1. Of these series, which one are you most looking forward to?
The Bruins Blue Jackets, obviously both games going into overtime. A note that I wanted to say, Artemi Panarin, the supposed guy who couldn't perform in the playoffs,
three points yesterday.
Yep, to propel the Blue Jackets over the Bruins. But the one that I've got the most skin in probably, and the one that I've watched both games in their entirety is San Jose Sharks and Colorado Avalanche. I've been to a Sharks game in the Shark Tank.
Is it still the SAP Center?
It's still the SAP Center, yep.
Oh, yes.
So even though Bartman has had to walk back some of his takes as far as San Jose and the Sharks go, that's an awesome environment. And then obviously we've got another, let me be frank, hockey columnist there, little huge Avs fan. So I'm keeping my closest eye on that series, though the Bruins and Blue Jackets has probably been more entertaining. And another shout out to Kevin Bartman, his Stanley Cup pick, the St. Louis Blues are still alive.
Yeah, I would probably say Dallas-St. Louis is my favorite series. I am pulling for Colorado as well. Boston Columbus is going to be a fun one to watch. I would have liked to seen the Islanders move on, just because I know this team is not capable of winning the Cup, and to see Islander fans get their hopes up and then absolutely crushed in the Eastern Conference Final would have been great.
I hadn't thought about that.
But it's interesting that one of the three, Columbus, Carolina, and the Islanders, can go to the Stanley Cup Final. But that's how it's been this year. You know, it's been an interesting playoffs, interesting series so far. But Dallas-St. Louis is the one I'm going to keep my eye on. The goaltending for St. Louis has been incredible. Can they sustain it is the real question.
Yeah, well, they obviously first, I don't have the stat in front of me, but like I think the first time a team that was last at any point in the season has made the playoffs, and they obviously moved past that and are on the back of Jordan Binnington on one heck of a run. And they show, obviously the series is tied 1-1, but they really haven't shown any signs of stopping.
They haven't, and that's the thing. I mean, they're a very strong offensive team. Like, they're very top-heavy. They do get production throughout the lineup, but those top guys, Tarasenko, stud. Like, they have a firepower to hang with just about anyone. We'll move on. NBA playoffs, final topic of the day. Toronto 1-0 over Philly. Boston 1-0 over Milwaukee. Portland and Denver have yet to get underway, and Golden State defeats Houston 1-0 in that series. Are the Warriors going to win again?
Yep. Even with Steph Curry out, it, as much as it pains me to say it, it's, this is definitely 2019 will be another Warriors championship, not the end of the dynasty. We might see that in 2020, but don't get your hopes up. Even if Kevin Durant leaves, I'm sure they'll draft somebody who turns into an all-world player.
Just trade the Bulls for a second-round pick.
Yeah, and cash considerations yet again. But as much as it pains me to say, the Warriors' year, and I'd much rather have a champion coming out of the Bay Area, Jumbo Joe Thornton, getting a cup for the San Jose Sharks. But I think those fans out there can more closely count on another Warriors title.
Yeah, it's hard to pick against the Warriors. I am very much interested. I think I'm not a big fan of the NBA playoffs. I do watch from time to time. But I think I will definitely be tuned in for Portland-Denver. I think those games are going to be great. Damian Lillard, obviously, with the dagger game-winning three to knock out the Oklahoma City Thunder. Denver, obviously, winning in seven games to get here. Two very interesting teams, two teams that for so long seemed like they were just in no man's land where they'd make the playoffs but then get bounced right away. Here they are. One of them will go to the Western Conference Final to take on most likely Golden State. But it's going to be a fun series because I think this one goes seven because these two teams just have so much on the line. This is, you know, arguably the best chance they'll have, at least in the near future, to make a run, unless Golden State obviously falls apart this summer. And even if they do, I think, I mean, they're still the most talented team in the league at this point. But Boston-Milwaukee is the other one. I could not care less about Toronto and Philly. Like, those teams bore the hell out of me. Give me Boston-Milwaukee just because of the fact that I like Kyrie Irving. Giannis is fun to watch. And the NBA would go nuts if the market of Milwaukee was in the final. They'd be so upset.
Which could very well happen. I wouldn't be surprised. And I obviously was pessimistically saying that the Warriors were going to have a cakewalk to the title. It may have sounded like that. But there are some chinks in their armor. They have not looked as dominant as they have in past runs through the playoffs.
I am very, very much so on the record of my hatred for James Harden. But I also just think that the Rockets aren't a good playoff team. Chris Paul stinks
for whatever reason
in the playoffs.
They'll find a way to fall apart.
He stinks in the playoffs. James Harden stinks in the playoffs. These guys are two of easily the biggest stars, not only on the team, but in the league, and they always disappear come playoff time. Not going to help, especially when you have guys on Golden State that have stepped up year in and year out. You got guys starting from the top guys like Durant, like Curry, like Klay Thompson, all the way down to the Sean Livingstons and Iguodalas who just step up and make big plays when they need to. Like, that is how Golden State has gotten to where they are. That is the polar opposite of Houston.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. I really don't see any way Houston wins, so now they will win, because every prediction I made in the NHL playoffs has been wrong. Not every single one, but most of them. I don't know. I would like to see... No, honestly, I'd rather see Golden State win than Houston. I couldn't even say that for the...
Oh, man.
Know. I want to see a four-game sweep for Golden State. Get the Rockets out of here. Get them out of my face. I'd like to see Boston-Milwaukee go 7. Don't care what happens in Toronto-Philly. Portland and Denver go 7 as well.
That's fine by me. I that's a very strong stance wanting the Warriors to sweep Houston, but obviously there's hate in your heart for the Rockets, and I can respect that.
Yeah, I've gone on and on. Like, Pete and I have gone to war over this in the old episode. You want to hear, go back a year or two in the Let Me Be Frank podcast, and you'll hear time in, time out. Around this time of year, late April, early May to mid-May, that's when you'll hear me go on and on about James Harden.
There you go. Got to find those back in the archives. Something I would like to mention, moving on briefly, is happy retirement to Sebastian Janikowski.
Yeah,
41 years old. Kicked in the league for 19 years. Highest paid kicker of all time, which is funny to think about.
Legend.
But watching him just wind up and boot 50 and 60 yarders has been wildly entertaining for more of my life than I could probably even remember.
He was a specimen towards the end here too as well. He just let himself go. But
what a unit.
He just, if you were inside the opponent's, like on the other side of the opponent, on the opponent's side of the field, let's try that one more time. The opponent's side of the field, he was like, put me in. I'm ready. I'll let it rip. Let's see if it's close. He was just one of those guys that was always ready to go, which is what you want in a kicker. Like, too many of these guys, Cody Parkey is why I am scarred forever, but many of these guys are just so timid, I guess is the right word.
Yep.
But, like, not that I want a kicker who's like, I want the ball in my hands late in the game, but I want a kicker that wants the ball in his hands late in the game. I want a guy that sees us tied or down, you know, 1-2 points and is like, yep, get me in range. I'm going to nail this. As opposed to looking at Cody Parkey continuously do the sign of the cross and looking up and like, God ain't going to help you here, kid. It's all on your leg.
Yep. Well, and the Bears have, what, 6 kickers on their roster right now, so it's
not enough. They need 15.
The head fake about Robbie Gould earlier in the week is heartbreaking, but I hope to God, as does every other Bears fan on the face of the earth, that we find our guy
soon. It will happen, but that's all I've got. I don't know if you've got any other notes. Otherwise, go ahead.
I forgot to mention, made my heart happy being raised by 2 parents who went to the University of Iowa, and then me, myself, graduating, obviously, from Creighton University. First time in, what, 56 years that the Nebraska Cornhuskers did not have an NFL draft pick selected, which just makes my heart happy. It's a great top off to the weekend. And,
it's tough.
Happy Monday, everybody.
real tough for the Huskers fans out there. I have a feeling that streak will end next year, but it's good to have 1 year under your belt, especially after that long run. But as always, we will be back. You can check us out, lmbfsports.com, LMBF Sports, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're signing off.
Our other podcasts.
Yeah, check out all the other podcasts. Shoeless Goat, Baseball Podcast, Cubs, Sox, and the rest of the league. Go With the Flow is hitting their stride yet again. They always peak in the playoffs like the best beauties in the world. And, of course, you've got us. So give it a listen. Subscribe, review, and we'll be back next week.